Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Okay, welcome back to the program, KJV Cafe, another blessed day. I'm starting the episode with saying okay, because we are moving on to part two of a look at Genesis 7:16. And if you missed yesterday's episode, try to go back and listen to it if you can. We discuss eternal security. And oftentimes, and I don't, you know, our denomination or what we believe in isn't, you know, that far-fetched from, you know, Free Will Baptist or something in terms of, you know, like I've been at radio events and there's been Free Will Baptist preachers in there and, you know, we'll have a good time talking and so forth. So I'm not like attacking anybody's belief, but I do believe that the scripture nowhere points to any kind of ability to lose your salvation, which then begs the question, how do you have people walking around acting really ungodly? Like, what's their deal, right? Could they maybe not be saved? And that is where I line up with it, because I think at the heart of that theology, and this is just me just thinking out loud here for a minute, the heart of it is like, get real, you know, you cannot mock God, you can't live, you know, sinful and then think you just have a get out of jail free card all the time, right? And so I think at the heart of that, that idea isn't wrong. And here's the idea. Maybe they were never saved to begin with. And that's kind of what I've heard from years from other preachers that'll counsel about this. I mean, you get someone doing something really bad, like in the ministry, for example. Oh, how could they? You know, you always see it. You know, we've seen it up close over the years many times. And the question is, how could they? Well, maybe they don't know God at all. Acts 8. There's an individual here in Acts 8 named Simon. All right. And I'm going to read some here and I'll skip a little bit, but Acts 8, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery. You might hear him referred to as Simon the sorcerer, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. So he's a sorcerer. And yes, God allows these evil people to sometimes have these powers that the devil would give them. Right. And he had no regard for these people. He's bewitching them. But he sees here that verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also when he was baptized. And he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. So here you have this wicked man, this sorcerer, that sees Philip come along. And he hears the preaching, he sees the miracles being done, clearly greater than anything he could do. And he kind of hooks up with this crowd and he, quote, believes and he's baptized. So now you say, well, Brother Clark, doesn't he have eternal security? Well, as I mentioned in the last episode, God looks upon the heart. So what looked like on the outside he was saved, turns out through circumstance he was not. The Bible says by their fruits you'll know them, okay? And we see here, who they were come down when they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And verse 18 here of Acts 8. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Okay. By their fruits, you'll know them. So it looked like he was saved. He got baptized. Right? He certainly could have been a member of a church at that point, which I think speaks to church membership a little bit, but that's for another episode. But his actions are dictating something else. Look at this verse 19 of Acts 8, saying, give me also the power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. See, he saw an opportunity. He said, I'm going to invest in this spiritual power so that I can then have this power and probably monetize it, or at least get a great name for it. And here Peter rebukes him and helps us understand that he was never really saved. Verse 20 of Acts 8, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. What does God look at? He looks at the heart. Repent therefore of this wickedness And pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And we know when we're saved, we're free from that bond of sin or bond of iniquity. Amen? We're free. We should be free from all bitterness when we're saved. So here we have an individual, Simon the sorcerer, in Acts 8 that appears to be saved and is not. Amen? And because of that, we see that Peter rebukes him. And Peter, having the Holy Ghost, would have known and rebuked him for this. Amen? He would have had God's discernment. God put this in his book for a reason. So when you're dealing with eternal security and you're thinking of that individual that was apparently saved at some point, that got baptized, that's a member of the church, might even have a Christian name, a Christian, you know, whatever, article of clothing. They may wear a cross all the time. They may know scripture. You know, the devil knows scripture too, by the way. You know, they may have all of these things buttoned up in front of man. And surely they probably could deceive me, you know. They're not deceiving God. And they're not, that God looks upon the heart. And the answer there was that person is never really saved. And so for those that truly call upon God, truly believe in Jesus Christ, they are saved. And we're going to look at more scripture that points to that when we come back from this break. So stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
So salvation comes by Christ alone. We understand that by faith alone. And we see that once we're saved, we're born again. Amen. To a point where we will never change. Romans 11:29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Amen. They're without repentance. God doesn't give a gift and take it back. Amen. God looks upon us in mercy and compassion. In a Sunday school class, a teen last week, I said, give me a verse. And they said, Jesus wept. You know, they remembered a short one. Why did Jesus weep? He was looking upon his people with compassion for their lost estate and for where they were headed. And God, what does he do? He saves us. And what happens? We receive that same Holy Spirit that Simon wanted so bad. We receive that same Holy Spirit and we're changed forever. Jude 1:24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God keeps us from falling. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. See, we receive the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by that Spirit. And this Holy Spirit within us helps us to live as God would have us to live. So going back to our example in the beginning of the show, for those that say they're saved and there's no fruit in their life and they're living wickedly and you look at them, the answer is they don't have the Holy Spirit. And that's become evident. Amen. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We are saved by faith. It's not anything that we do. It is a gift from God, and God isn't an Indian giver. He's not going to give a gift and take it away. Amen. He gives us the gift of salvation, and we should praise him every single day for it. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. How does he begin a good work in you? Well, he seeks you, he saves you, right? He gives you that Holy Spirit. And then because you have the Holy Spirit, a he, the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit within you is keeping you to finish that good work until the day of Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible talks about being led by the Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We have a mechanism within us that keeps us saved. Amen. That's why we aren't to grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit within us is our guide. Amen. When someone messes up, they're convicted by the Holy Spirit to repent. God gives us repentance as a mechanism for cleansing. Sanctification would be the Bible word. Romans 8:38 through 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. This scripture here, Paul writes in Romans, death, life, angels, the devil, powers, things happening now, things going to happen in the future, something high, something low, any kind of creature, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God, Christ Jesus didn't, this is a great way to think of eternal security. Christ Jesus didn't go to the cross to die for a temporary salvation. God didn't put Noah in the ark and shut him in for the ark to make it a few weeks and then sink into the water. Okay? When God does something, he is doing it eternally. He's operating on a platform and on a timeline that is very foreign to us. We're in the timeline of roughly 70 years, no more than about 120, right? That's our timeline here on earth. God's operating on a whole different timeline. He's saying, I'm going to save you for an eternity, and I'm going to keep you by the working of my Holy Spirit. And I know you're not perfect. I know that you still have that flesh, that you still have that Adamic nature from the first Adam. That's why I gave you the last Adam. And that's why I've given you repentance and sanctification, the idea that you can come to me, the idea that I want to have a relationship with you, the idea that I'm a forgiving God. That's who God is. I'm not saying I am. I'm saying he is a forgiving God. How do I know? Because he forgave me. Amen. And if he can forgive me, he can forgive you. And if you think you've done something bad, I probably did it worse. And God was able to forgive me. Not only was he able to forgive me, he was able to call me into the ministry out of just his unbelievable way of using the most unlikely people. And he said, okay, you're cast aside. You're down and out. You're nobody in this world. I think you're fit for use. You know, you've been humbled a little bit. You know, you know that tomorrow is not promised and you can't do anything without me. I might could use you a little bit. See, that's who God uses. And how does God use us? Not through any kind of earthly power we have, but through the working of the Holy Spirit. What, you know, it's fruitless. It's there's no reason to sit and prepare for a month for a message and go preach it if you don't pray over it, if you don't have the Spirit, if you don't pray that the Holy Spirit preach through you. Conversely, someone could spend a few minutes, and if God has something to say through the Holy Spirit, he's going to say it. Amen. That is who God is. He doesn't work with us in tandem. He works through us, through the Holy Spirit. And that's how we're kept for eternity. 1 John 5:10-13. He that believeth on the Son, God hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. You see how much the word believe is in there? And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Not eternal life asterisk, not eternal life caveat, not eternal life for a little bit. Eternal means forever. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so knowing eternal life means understanding that there is no doctrine of losing our salvation. There is, in fact, proof that some people say they're saved when they're not. That's why the Bible tells us to work our salvation out with fear and trembling, to make sure that every man, you know, the Bible specifies, just because dad or mom, they're godly, doesn't mean that you're going to be godly. Just because a dad or mom are wicked doesn't mean you have to be wicked. Every individual, once they reach the age of accountability, is responsible for their salvation, and that is of God. And God is so merciful, you simply just need to pray. You just simply need to ask God to reveal himself to you. Open the Bible and say, God, okay, if you're real, show me. Make that prayer. Hold God accountable to his word, and he'll show up in your life like you won't believe. Amen. Ask God. I heard a young man, he was going into a business he thought the Lord was leading him into, and he said, God, if you want me to do this, then you have to make me like to do it. And I love the way he put that, because that's faith in God, that God would either make it pleasurable and something he'd want to do, or he'd go find something else to do, because he wants God to have rule and reign in his life. Amen. And we have to go to God in that spirit and say, if you've saved me, who am I to say that I wouldn't be saved or I'd lose my salvation? And just because you saved me doesn't mean I should do the very least. It means that I owe you my life, and I should die to self. And that is my reasonable service, to take up my cross and live for you. And so let me live for you with every ounce of my being, because you died for me and you saved me. And the Bible specifically says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. While we were yet living in sin, an enemy to him, he saved us. He is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of all adoration. He is worthy to save. Amen. He is worthy and powerful enough to keep you. Just as he flooded the whole earth and kept Noah and his family, he is able to keep you until the appointed time. Amen. Tune in next time. Take care. God bless, and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.